Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Can you imagine having cancer? Do you know someone who has cancer right now? Well, either we've all had it or someone in our family has had it. Now, are you ready to meet someone who has had cancer three times and she lost her left eye and eyelid? Can you imagine cancer having a side effect where you age much slower than other people? Now my guest today tells her husband and kids, I'll keep my eye on you. Tell me, have you ever heard about a wonderful company called Cool Jams? My guest today is a mother, wife, and business owner. She began her first stint as a business owner creating Cool Jams, an online sleepwear business specializing in sleepwear and bedding. She also has had cancer three times. After beating cancer and losing her left eye, in the process, she decided her policy would be to be more mindful and live life in the best way possible. It was not her intention to hide behind her prosthetic face. Instead, she decided to make some serious changes. With these changes, she noted side benefits. Strangely, she seemed to be aging much slower than before. After many surgeries just to save her life, she certainly was not a fan of classic cosmetic procedures. Looking younger has been an added bonus to my guests. I'm pleased to welcome to our show and introduce you to Anita Mahaffey. Hi, Anita. How are you doing?
Hi, January. It's nice to be here again. I've missed you.
I know. I've missed you too, dear. It's wonderful to have you back on the show. I wanted to share with my listeners that I was so impressed with your last show that you are Chapter 7 and my newest book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. And the reason Anita is in Chapter 7 is she is one of those guests who came on the show and you couldn't forget her. She was memorable and everyone was inspired by her story. Let's talk about when you first discovered that you had cancer and something was wrong.
Well, first of all, I want to say that your book is great. You did a great job with the book. It was awesome. I read through it and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for providing that to the universe, the world. It's a great book. You did a good job on it. But as far as I go, my first bout with cancer started in my early 20s, and I thought I had a thyroid condition. I went to the doctor, and he first thought it was a thyroid condition because my eye was bulging out a little bit, and I went to the doctor, and they decided, well, let's just, you know, do some tests, and it wasn't a thyroid condition. They ended up going in and did a biopsy, and they discovered a tumor about the size of a walnut behind my left eye. And the first go round was they just had to go in and they removed it. And I had a little double vision for a while, but I kind of went on my merry way. And then, let's see, then about 10 years later, it came back. And I think I had a little bit of irritation. My eye was red. And so we went back in and did a CT scan. And sure enough, it came back and was wrapped around my optic nerve this time. And, you know, just kind of wreaking havoc in my skull.
Yeah.
And they had to go in and do another surgery. And then, but I still had my eye, no problem. You know, and then the last time I say the last time because I don't intend to have cancer anymore.
Right.
That chapter in my life is over, but the last time was about 10 years ago, so I'm 10 years cancer-free, actually longer than that now. It's about 12 years now, lose track of time. And that time, the cancer was a millimeter from entering my brain cavity. It was it was near the speech and gross motor center of my brain. They had to be drastic, so they removed I think you mentioned already, they removed my eye and eyelids on the left side, and you know, of course, that was very, very difficult because as a woman, you know, we're all about looking beautiful, right?
Right, absolutely.
We want to be pretty. We want, you know, and there's so much of our world that's focused on external beauty.
Sure.
And so, yeah, that was a tough one. You know, I did everything in my power not to have that done. But in the end, in order to save my life, I really had to make that decision and move forward with that surgery. So.
Okay, now everyone you meet always tells you they have something that can cure cancer.
Yeah.
And tell us about your experience with faith healers and crystal healers.
Oh, yeah.
How did that play out?
Yeah, so for me, the last thing in the world, when my doctor told me that I had to lose my eye to keep my life, there's no way I wanted to believe that. So I sought out every alternative, everything, you know, from, just like you said, crystal healers, you know, faith healers, you know, the special diets. Special herbs, cyber knives, gamma knives, laser, you know, all this different stuff. And bottom line, one day, I futzed around for about 2 months, and my surgeon called me and said, he's actually a friend of ours, and he called and he distanced himself. He kind of used this psychological technique where all of a sudden I wasn't Anita anymore. I was Mrs. Mahaffey. Need to have this surgery, and you need to do it now or you're going to die. And that was sort of a wake-up call that, you know, yeah, there's a lot of natural remedies out there, but sometimes we just have to be a believer in Western medicine, and really, truly, that was the only thing that could save my life. So
you were running out of time because he actually said, do you want to be dead in 6 months? What goes through a person's head when someone says that to you?
It's a true wake-up call because here I was being offered life on a platter, you know, and if it's a, I had three kids. I still have three kids, but they were younger then. They were little. And, I had a husband, and I had a lot of life to live. You know, I wasn't even 40 years old, and so it was a wake-up call because I really, truly believed in my head that I could find a solution. I could fix anything. I was a fixer, a doer, But in this case, no, I had to have that surgery. So it was a true wake-up call.
Eye cancer. This must be very rare because you're, quite frankly, the first person I've ever talked to, the first person I've ever met that has eye cancer. How rare is this?
Well, it wasn't really eye cancer. It was more head cancer, but it was a tumor that it's called a fibrous histiocytoma, which is a type of tumor that normally grows in someone's gut or belly. And mm-hmm. in my case, it grew in the oddest place behind my eye, in that there's a cavity behind your eye mm-hmm. between your brain and your and wrapped around my optic nerve. Mm-hmm. So in that cavity, there's no place for this tumor to go except into the brain. And in your gut, you know, you can do a really wide surgical margin, because you can take out part of a stomach, you can take out part of an intestine without doing too much damage. But mm-hmm. but when you're working in a in an area like the brain and the head, there's no place for this tumor to go except damage into the brain, you know. So yeah, that but it was very rare to have it in that area.
Right. Now, did you lose your vision?
Yeah, I have vision on my right side, so that eye is very strong. I think sometimes your eye even gets stronger when you're using only one eye. So that eye is a great eye, and I try to protect it with glasses and, you know, just try to do everything. Yeah, sunglasses, and yeah, I'm very careful with my good eye. But you know, if you looked at me with the prosthesis that I have, I have no vision. It's just a silicone prosthesis, mm-hmm. tough word to say, but you wouldn't know by looking at my photo, or the only thing that you would notice is that my eye doesn't blink, but it's pretty much smoke and mirrors, Hollywood kind of prosthetic that's held in with a magnet. It's just a static piece of silicone that's painted, and you would not know. Most people don't know. They only know that my eye doesn't blink, and they think there's something wrong with my eye, but the truth of the matter is I don't have one. So, yeah.
Well, you know, this is an amazing story that you're sharing with our listeners, and I have a personal story to share. My sister-in-law recently was having vision problems and couldn't see as well, and having headaches, and went in to the doctor and was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And she's now being treated for it. So I think a lot of people, when you're out there, you need to react quickly to these things. Don't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. You can't, I mean, I think you need to do your due diligence and find the doctor that's right for you. Find the, you know, find a group of people that a team that can work with you, but do work quickly. And I think so often people try to go around the country to the best doctor there is, and maybe that might be somewhat important, but I think even more important, it's important to have your people around you, people that can support you. Mm-hmm. That is really important in healing, to have your network of friends and family, you know, around you to aid in that healing, just like you're there for, is it you said your sister, or your sister-in-law?
My sister-in-law, right.
Sister-in-law, yeah. Yeah.
Well, your story is amazing, because it's very amazing to talk to someone who has had three surgeries to finally conquer this form of cancer. And I'd like to, when we come back after our break, I'd like to talk about what it was like adjusting to life with the prosthetic, and how your husband and family and what changed in your life. We're going to be right back with Anita. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. Welcome back with my guest today, Anita Mahaffey, who is the CEO of Cool Jams. I wanted to also mention that she is Chapter 7 in Priceless Personalities, and it's been an honor to be able to share her with my fans. Also this month, Christina just came out. It's a book about the Onassis Odyssey. And also Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle is now available at audible.com. Now, Anita, let's talk about what it was like, the process of coming to terms with having to deal with a prosthetic.
Yeah, that was tough. So after having, you know, major surgery like that, there's a lot of healing time. There's the physical healing part where, you have a wound, you have this, you know, this, you have these multiple surgeries afterwards. I had to have skin grafts and, oh gosh, all kinds of physical therapy because my muscles were locked and I couldn't open my mouth afterwards. When you have facial surgery and trauma, so often it wreaks havoc. So I lost a bunch of weight. I know, not a good way to lose weight, but not recommended, but lost a lot of weight, locked jaw, physical therapy where they had to pry my jaw open slowly over a period of months like a clamshell. Have you ever tried to open a muscle or a clam that doesn't want to open? That's exactly how my jaw was. But then after the physical healing, then it's the emotional healing, gosh, I look like a freak. I don't have an eye. I'm missing my eyelids and slowly, once things started healing, I could look more normal as I developed developing the prosthesis. So the prosthesis itself, it's actually a silicone piece of plastic that has an acrylic eye inside of it, and it's held in with magnets. So, and the magnet surgery, that was actually, where you have magnets implanted into your skull so that you can actually hold in the prosthesis. So it's quite a feat to create this, but once I had that, I started building up my confidence again, because as a woman, we touched on that before, you always, want to look pretty, you want to look nice, and I didn't think that I looked pretty anymore, and so I guess you said, and the other part is that it kind of makes you think that, okay, we've always been told, you should focus on inner beauty versus external beauty. This makes you live it. You really start living that. And, it was really nice when I got to think about that a lot. But finally, after getting the prosthesis and maneuvering through life and figuring out, okay, now I look pretty good. I look, okay, and it's hardly noticeable. So then everything melds together, and I guess I learned a lot of lessons in life, and you touched on some of them earlier, about health and taking care of yourself, and there's a lot of side benefits when you do that as well. So
an amazing statement for you to make. You really had your feet to the fire in this situation. And it took about a year of healing, didn't it, before you were able to look in a mirror?
Yeah, it was a good year before I could look at myself fully and say, okay, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. I mean, talk about, going through a depression and being sad, Yeah, okay, I have to admit, there was a little whining in the beginning, but once you get over the hump, then the whining goes away. I decided that is not useful, Slap yourself and say, what am I doing? Let's move on from here. And it doesn't help matters at all to sit around and mope and feel sorry for yourself. And so I decided, not to, I'll move
wonderful.
On.
Well, you certainly gave my book a wonderful plug, Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment. And you're very similar to a lot of my guests, the people who are success people, the people I like sharing with my listeners, because you are able to find humor in life. And that is such an important thing to incorporate into your journey. Don't you agree?
Oh, gosh, yes. My husband and I, you know, are constantly joking about, you know, things. In fact, I knew my husband when I was in my early 20s. He was a boyfriend, but quickly was put to the top of the boyfriend list when he was around and joking with me while I was having the first surgery, you know. And he knew that I would come out of the, I could possibly have come out of that surgery without an eye at that point.
Right.
You know, we weren't really sure, but, you know, we joked. And you mentioned something about, you know, he said, well, I'll keep my eye out for you, you know, and things like that. And I said, well, I'll keep my eye out for you, you know. And sometimes you just have to laugh, you know, regardless of the situation, because it does make it easier to deal with life when you can laugh and use humor.
You know, I have a titanium knee, so whenever I go to airports, I have to get a special scan, and I have a card, et cetera. Tell me what life is like living with magnets in your head.
Where
did they do this operation?
Oh, well, the first operation was done in San Francisco, and the second two were in San Diego.
Okay.
So, yeah, and they have a very good team of neurosurgeons and head surgeons here in San Diego. So I was very fortunate, and an ophthalmologist, but I was very fortunate to have a great team here.
Mm-hmm.
What was your other question? Sorry.
I wanted to know what it's like to live with magnets in your head.
What happens
to you when you go to the airport?
Well, in addition to magnets, I have 50 plates and screws in my head. You wouldn't know that by looking at me, but they're little tiny plates and screws. But believe it or not, they're so tiny, and I don't think it's like a knee. I was worried about that as these scanners have gotten more sophisticated, but I haven't been stopped for that reason. I'm pretty fortunate in that case. Now, like any traveler, I was very happy when I recently got put on the pass-through list, whatever they call it. I don't have to take my computer out of the bag anymore. I don't have to take my shoes off anymore. So,
Now you're making me positively jealous. So.
Yeah, it is a pain, isn't it?
Now let's talk a little bit about your recovery and how it affected your children.
You know, that's interesting. My youngest daughter was probably like 3 years old when this happened.
Uh-huh.
And she has always known me as this mom, you know, without the eye. And when you're used to something, it doesn't even faze her. You know, it doesn't even faze her. And like my boys were a little bit older, so I tend not to walk around without an eye in front of them. It's kind of like, you know, I just wouldn't do it. I would be respectful because I think that they would be. It would probably not be comfortable for them to see their mom like that, you know.
Yeah.
But my husband and my daughter are very used to my full naked glory.
So you actually take it out every night.
You can't. Yes, I have to. Yeah. So it's kind of like brushing your teeth.
Okay.
Because you have to really keep it hygienic and clean to avoid infection and that sort of thing. So I'm very careful about that. But there aren't too many people that know me fully like that.
Is such a fantastic story for you to share, because it certainly puts everything in perspective. And I especially love the fact that you are looking for humor in every aspect of your life. We know we're going to take a break and hear from some of my sponsors. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about your company, Cool Jams. And we will be right back with Anita.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, laughter, the drug of choice, is just what the doctor ordered.
Welcome back with my guest, Anita Mahaffey. And Anita, let's talk about Cool Jam, the company that you established. Tell us how that came about.
Well, Cool Jams is actually, I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur. Cool Jams is actually my third business.
Okay.
I've always been in the apparel business, but the second one was a private label apparel business. And while I was at our factory one time developing a program for Nordstrom or Macy's or somebody like that, I can't remember which one specifically, but we had developed a microfiber, and I thought, wow, this feels really good. And we were using it in T-shirts, and I thought this would be a great pajama fabric because it was really soft and nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through night sweats at that time. I was going through menopausal night sweats, and I thought, well, maybe I'll have them make me a pair of pajamas. Maybe it'll help the night sweats because wicking pajamas draw moisture away from the body and dry very quickly. Well, put them on. Sure enough, first night I slept through. The night sweats were so much better. And I thought, okay, I might have something. So I made 10 more pairs and gave them to my friends to see what they thought, because they were all about the same age going through. And actually a few of them were experiencing night sweats that were cancer-related, because that was another, area of, I had been around a lot of cancer patients over the years. And so many women go through breast cancer and that sort of thing. They say that men that have prostate cancer, also have cancer night sweats. So there's a lot of reasons for night sweats. But in any case, all the testing came back positive. So I just developed a line. I was in the business. I developed a line. And pretty soon it was the handwriting on the wall was that I needed to do this full time. And I took a back seat from the private label area of fashion and started Cool Jams. We started with a website. And now we started in 2008, and now we've doubled our business every year since then. And we sell to 150 countries around the world. And about 2 years ago, we started selling wholesale. We primarily sell our products online, but 2 years ago, we also started selling to a lot of shops. And some of our biggest buyers are women's shops that specialize in cancer treatment, also hospital gift shops. We sell a lot of Cool Jams too. So there's a huge market for this type of a product. So we discovered a niche that really needed to be conquered, so to speak.
Well, I want to share my own personal story, because I sleep in Cool Jams every night, and we just came back from a biking cruise in on the Danube River. I took my two sets of Cool Jams with me, and it was interesting because sometimes the ship was warm, sometimes we were in cold weather, it went back and forth, and I slept, I was so comfortable. I just highly recommend them, especially now that we're approaching the holiday season. So many of you want to give gifts to people who have been ill, housebound, or bedbound. This is a great gift to give, isn't it?
It's a fabulous gift. In fact, yesterday was Cyber Monday, and oh my gosh, our website, I was afraid we couldn't manage all the business, but it was okay. We managed it, and we just had a bang up holiday season so far, and it's only just begun. It is a fabulous gift, and you mentioned something which is kind of interesting, because people don't realize that there is a certain zone, a body temperature zone, that people need to sleep in. And even people who don't get night sweats per se, people who get overheated, or if you get too hot at night, it is a problem. You know, they say that you should, that your core body temperature, when your body temperature gets a little bit cooler, you sleep better. So it's really important that people maintain, you know, that just don't wear too many pajamas, and don't wear pajamas that are too hot, because you probably will not sleep very well, you know, if you do.
Yeah. The nice thing about your line is it's available for women, of course, who are in menopause or any stage of their life. Then you also have Cool Gems for men and for children, for the entire family. And
actually, not children. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but only men and women.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you share your website information right now while people are making out their Christmas list?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would like to provide a promo code that people can use for 10% off, and that promo code is COOLTODAY1. So cool, the word COOLTODAY1, you would enter it into the promo box on our website, and our website address is www.cool-jams with an S, so it's COOL-JAMS like Sam .com. So Cool Jams, cool-jams.com.
And let's back up to the promo code. Is that COOLTODAYTWO, or is it a number?
No, it's just one, the number one. So it's Cool Today, the number one.
Number one, so it's not spelled out. Okay, great. We will post that at the website. That's a wonderful opportunity. Let's back up a little bit and talk about what happened to you personally and your family after you went through these three cancer surgeries. You became lighter and freer, and you discovered that a positive attitude and a mental shift could really change everything. Could you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the mind is a powerful thing. It can boost you up or it can drag you down.
Right.
And I would say that initially, you know, the first few months, it dragged me down. And I wasn't the happy camper that I am now. But I think one day I just looked in the mirror and said, what am I doing? You know, so I, you know, realized that I needed to stay positive. I needed to take steps towards my problems and not waste energy whining about it. You know, move forward, take proactive steps that would be positive. And, you know, a lot of it had to do with taking care of my health. And, you know, some of the things that I started doing, first of all, I made sure that I got enough sleep every day. People, they underestimate how important sleep is, and you need, you know, 8 to 10 hours. And, you know, 10 hours might be extreme, but if you can get 8 hours, you know, I think that is a beautiful thing, because you will feel better all around. And you mentioned something about looking younger, by making these changes. It's not really a magical formula. It really has more to do with staying positive, having a smile on your face, you know, doing the things that we actually all know, but really making a commitment to doing them every day. And, you know, some of the things that I incorporated in my life, you know, was number one, sleeping, you know, 8 hours every night, exercising every day. I know they say that you should always take a break, you know, but my break days might be like, you know, some very, very relaxing yoga, but I try to do something every day, either very relaxing yoga, Pilates, I like to hike, you know, I like Zumba, find something you love and do it. You play golf, you know, walking instead of taking a cart, you know, it's all those things, you know, are great. If you like to garden, you know, that's exercise too.
Anita, share with us, what time of day do you exercise? Do you exercise the same time every day, or do you just mix it up?
I have to fit it in when I can. I make an appointment with myself to exercise. Sometimes it might be at 6 at night. Sometimes it might be 7 in the morning. But uh-huh. I look at my week, and I actually pencil it in like an appointment. So I think that's kind of critical. So often, you know, you do for everybody else, but you don't do for yourself. And that's my little indulgence, along with, I know we have this in common. We both eat chocolate every day, too. So chocolate and champagne, I think we discussed that. I don't drink champagne every day, but I do have some really good chocolate every day, and I do like my lattes.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm a total chocoholic, and I talk about it all the time in my show, as you know, because you've been on before. Let's talk briefly a little bit about eating right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people these days get involved in a lot of trends. And what are your thoughts about eating right? Natural, organic? What do you think about that?
I believe in eating. It doesn't necessarily have to be organic, but my belief is it just has to be close to nature. So as unprocessed is more important for me than organic, because I think a lot of times organics are pretty expensive, and a lot of people, you know, I don't want to spend that much money for fresh fruits. But if you don't want to buy organics, just buy unprocessed, you know, fresh products, you know, fresh meats, fresh vegetables, you know, and even better, if you have a garden, you know, I love to garden, so I grow a lot of our own lettuce, and we have fruit trees, and so I love that, but not everybody has that opportunity. But I just think sticking really close to nature and, you know, eat like a caveman, you know, that's what they say, you know, they didn't have all these processed foods, and the closer you can get to nature, the better. And I don't believe in fads either. You know, the mango diet or the this diet or the, you know, Atkins diet, you know, whatever, you know.
That's crazy making. Yeah. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Anita, we're going to talk about what success means to her, if she has any regrets or advice. And we're going to talk about random acts of kindness. We'll be right back with Anita, CEO of Cool Jams.
Better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Pat's book is fantastic. I highly recommend it. I'm in a second marriage of 43 years, so I know of what I speak. We're back with my wonderful guest, Anita Mahaffey, who is the CEO, president of Cool Jams. Anita, let's talk about what it takes to conquer that not being a victim mentality.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the things that's so important to remember is to just get out of your head. You know, I think so often we focus on ourselves and how sad we are. And one of the ways that I found to help me get out of my head was to start thinking about other people and how I could make a difference. And I'd always, you know, done volunteer work and that sort of thing. But I'm talking about really just forgetting about yourself for 1 second and and every start every day thinking about how you could improve lives for other people. How could you make the world a better place around you? And I decided that, you know, we all are here for a purpose. We all are here for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that we come into this world, and me personally, I want to leave it better than it was when I arrived. And so one way to do that is just to always think about random acts of kindness. And I start my day thinking about what can I do, you know, to help others. And I try to take every opportunity that comes to me, whether it could be as simple as, you know, letting somebody in front of you, you know, why do I have to be the first one, you know, to the right turn? You know, I can let somebody in front of me, or, you know, or standing in line at a store, you know, or buying someone a cup of Starbucks, the person behind you paying for their drink, you know, mm-hmm. just something simple like that, saying hello to the sad person that's walking with their head down, shuffling their feet. You know, sometimes it really doesn't take much to brighten somebody else's day. So for me, that was one way to just really get out of my head, think about how can I improve life for those around me, and that works. You know, you don't feel sorry for yourself. You start feeling good about yourself when you can brighten somebody else's day. You know, it's a very simple way to get out of your head.
And, you know, I agree with you, and it's such an easy thing to do. People think, oh, random acts of kindness. Guess what? All you need to do with people is make eye contact and then smile. I've had such an amazing experience when I'm checking out in markets or stores or wherever, to look someone in the eye and say, how's your day going? How are you? To connect with people. It's such an important thing to do. And guess what? You get more than you give. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. And you know, in this day and age of Facebook mm-hmm. and cell and text messaging, I don't think people get enough of the personal interaction. And I think that we could all do with more of that, and someone looking us in the eye and sincerely saying, January, mm-hmm. how are you today? You know, and it really, it is. It's important. It's very
important.
And, you
know, it's interesting when you smile at someone, guess what happens? They smile right back at you, and you both feel good.
That's true, and it's kind of a universal language. It doesn't matter if the person speaks English, you know, Spanish, you know, Hebrew, whatever language they speak. Everyone understands a smile, right?
it's international, and it's the language of love, real love.
Yes,
let's
exactly.
talk a little bit right now, Anita, about what success means to you right now as we speak, and do you have any regrets or advice for my listeners?
I'm full of advice. But I would say that the most important thing for me, I do what I love, and I love what I do.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't love it anymore, I don't do it anymore. And
right.
I know that sounds I'm not talking about, you know, you have kids and they make you mad sometimes, or a husband. I'm not talking about disposing of life. I'm talking about if you don't love it, find a way to love it. You know, find something about it that makes you happy. And once you go through that exercise, if you really, really, truly don't love your job, you know, maybe rather than complaining, find something else. You know, people think that they are stuck, and you know, either change the way you think about it or change it, you know, but don't whine, you know. So and for me personally, that's my philosophy. I just don't believe in being unhappy with what you're doing, and you know, make changes then if you are unhappy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a couple other just tidbits that I found in life as I've gone through business is that, and these are things that have really, really helped me, is to never burn bridges. You know, potentially everyone you meet in life is important to your future.
Uh-huh.
You know, my experience, you know, I was an exchange student in Turkey originally in 1976. Well, those people became my future business partners. So, you know, it's funny how life works, that you really need to you know, nurture your friendships and just always look at everyone as somebody in, that's special. They're special in your life, and they were brought there for a reason. And don't ever discount anybody, even the homeless person on the street. Do not discount that person, because they might, they are a soul, they're a person, and they might be instrumental to you someday. You never know.
Well, you know, that is fantastic advice, and I totally agree with it about never burning bridges. We just have a minute and a half. Is there anything you regret or wish you could do differently?
You know, I really don't live life with regrets. I just one tidbit that I'd like to, you know, one of my favorite sayings in life is, when it's dark outside, the stars are the brightest. And look for opportunities. When you are down, you know, that's when the opportunities really shine. And my life is just a true example of that. It's just a powerful message that I think everybody should remember, that I don't believe that there's a punitive force that forces you to have all these bad things happen to you so you learn. But I do think that you can learn from darkness, and you can learn, you know, how strong you are. You can learn, you know, things from that state of mind, that state of being when you're sad and dark, that can bring you up and inspire you for the rest of your life.
Oh, that is such great advice. And I have been so pleased to have you back on the show. I'm thrilled to be sharing you with our now over 50 million listeners. It's been wonderful. And I hope you will come back again and again.
Well, thank you, January. I really appreciate that send-off. And I do love your book. And I hope that lots of people buy it, because it's very inspirational. You know, very inspirational.
Thank you. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Anita. Isn't she an amazing, priceless personality? My upcoming guests for the show are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing. Just like Anita, they will amaze, amuse, and astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Anita Mahaffey from Cool Gems. And remember her promo code, COOLTODAY1, and go to www.cool-gems.com and do your Christmas shopping there. She has some wonderful gifts, especially for the people that you never know what to get them. You'll find it something wonderful at Cool Gems. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity, as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.